You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it's been an amazing show. And we'll, by the way, if you want to keep texting in, 833-687-4448, we'll call out the names of those you want to remember, and we're proud to do it. So yeah, 833-687-4448. 4448, brand new in the text lines, Dante from Decatur. Dante, we're glad you're in the system, says, in memory of my uncles, Second Lieutenant Harry Pettit, Jr., 447th Bomb Group, kindled in action February 28th, 1944. And PFC Raymond Clyde Pettit, 187th Regimental Combat Team, killed in action 1951 in Korea. Thank you for their service, man. We appreciate that, Dante. Scott from Decatur, I want to remember David T. Hamilton, Spec 5, earned a Bronze Star in Vietnam. We got it, Scott. Thank you very much. And then Bryant from Huntsville. Bryant says, want to honor my Uncle Howard. He was a Marine, and my grandfather was a navigator for the Air Force. Thank you, Senator Williams, he says, for your service, for your show today, honoring veterans. We appreciate it, Bryant. Hey, listen, we're going to switch gears. We're going to do some news because I'm going to tell you right now, it has been a target-rich environment this week in Montgomery, and really, there's been things that have been happening on a national level. So our friend Stephanie Smith is on the line right now. She's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, neck deep in things that have been happening, some of which we saw coming and some of which were like, what just happened in the past week in Montgomery? Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. Hey, before we kick off, too, we've been talking Memorial Day and honoring those that we love or knew or think of on Memorial Day. Anybody you want to mention?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been listening, and the segment with Mike Durant was really powerful. I got a chance to meet him during the election season and have a lot of respect for his service and all of the men and women, you know, who have sacrificed both their lives and also those who have sacrificed, you know, alongside them, family members and, you know, people who love them, especially those who have been lost and sacrifice to our country. I don't think that we honor them enough. Mm-hmm. On a personal level, both of my grandfathers served. Well, one of my grandfathers served in the South Pacific, and he's passed away about 10 years ago. His name was W.C. Holden. And then my other grandfather, my maternal grandfather, passed away, not of COVID, but during COVID. And he started serving in the Navy and then in the Coast Guard just after the war was over. And so he was a stalwart in my life, and we lost him, like I said, during COVID, but not of COVID. And he's the veteran in my life that was most significant, for sure.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning both of them, and thank you for their service, my friend. So, listen, let's switch gears. What the heck? I mean, I saw things come out this week in Montgomery, and I'm like, okay, first of all, it looks like we might get a grocery tax cut because the House did some stuff, and then now we might also give a loan to a private college because they can't manage their money on their own, so they need the government to bail them out. Sure. And then we might have gambling or we might not. What? Give us the roundup, girl. What have you seen? What have you heard?
Yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster this week. It gets that way, as you know, at the end of the session, you know, some weird things start to happen. They stay up all night, you know, everybody gets what I would call a little chippy. but at the beginning of the week, we really understood that, you know, it was going to be budget week. They were going to hash through the budget. You know, as you know, most of your listeners know because they're learned because they listen to you. The budgets are really the only thing that has to be passed. You know, both of the sets of budgets. And so it was budget week. And so I went down there to testify on behalf of the grocery tax cut because API has been pushing for that tax cut since way before I was affiliated with API. And I've been discussing the grocery tax and the possibility of cutting that tax just because it's a regressive tax and something that impacts all of the state, everybody in the state, for years. So I went down to testify on behalf of that tax cut. And the day that I went down there to testify, the Senate budget committees decided not to meet at all this week because they wanted to see what the House was going to do. Also, they decided that if the grocery tax cut went through, they were going to put basically all of the tax credits or the vast majority of the tax credits and other tax cut proposals in the trash can. That wasn't necessary.
No, it wasn't.
As you all know, there's a huge surplus in both of the budgets. It wasn't necessary to do that, but they decided that they wanted to spend the other portion of the money and give us rebate checks that Governor Ivey had promised in her state of the state instead of long-term tax cuts that, you know, would be a permanent fix and a permanent help to all of our citizens.
Well, I mean, I look at that, and so the rebate checks you're talking about, the governor originally wanted to give everybody $400 or $800 for a couple. It's now been whittled down to, what, $150 for an individual or $300 for a couple.
That's right.
And that passed out of which body? Which body had that so far? The House or the Senate?
So it's actually in process in both.
Okay.
But now it's passed.
They did pass that one.
Yes, they did. That was one of the negotiations in the wee hours of the morning. So the whittled down rebate, is kind of a done deal at this point. I think that was a negotiation with the governor's office. I think that the legislature, once they got into session, really wanted to do a few of these tax cuts. Which I give them credit for. They were trying to move toward tax cuts, and then they were pulled back toward the rebates because of what she had said publicly, which is unfortunate because it won't be noticed by the people who get them. To me, it's not politically smart because it doesn't give you bang for a buck, and it also really just doesn't help people down the road.
No.
That money could have been better spent elsewhere.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I don't want to poo-poo the idea that $150 won't mean something, but what that really does is it buys you about five pizzas. And that's just not a significant level of tax relief. But all right, so but to touch base then again on the grocery tax, which feels like a victory in the brewing. We are looking at the House did pass it, and they're cutting the grocery tax in half over the next 2 years. So 2 cents on the dollar less you have to spend for milk, bread, and eggs and everything else.
Right. And, the grocery tax, like I said, has been something that's been talked about for 25-plus years.
Yeah.
We're one of only three states that levies a state tax on groceries, full tax on necessities. And it's one of those things that just really needs to go. If you and I had written it, it would have been rip the Band-Aid off, take that 4% off, and be done with it. During the negotiation process, it was clear that was not going to happen without making it up on the other side. And the decision was made, let's do it incrementally and get rid of it as we go without replacing it with some other sort of new tax or new revenue. And that was the decision. And I think that's a victory. I like the idea that if there is a surplus, the attitude is, how do we get a surplus back to the people? So I don't completely reject the rebate idea because it does have that idea of, hey, we've got extra money and this isn't ours. I like that concept.
Yeah.
I just don't think it went far enough.
Yeah, because I've said many times on this show, if government winds up with a surplus, it means they, on one hand, they just took more of your money than they needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and do keep in mind, too, that it's a surplus on top of the addition from last year's budget, which was the largest budget ever, and that was on top of the year before, which was the largest budget ever. So the surplus is on top of the growth. So it's not even like, oh, we're cutting everything 10% and then we're going to have money left over. It's an increase over last year, and then they still have a surplus. And so the attitude should be, hey, we took too much of y'all's money, and we're going to send this back. And that's the attitude of a rebate, which is good. But you really are sending the money back to the people when you give the people their money in the first place. You don't take as much of it from the first place.
All right. So let me do this. Tell you what, Stephanie, we normally talk one segment, but there's several more bills I want to discuss. Can you hang on through a break and we'll come back and do a little more?
Oh, sure.
Well, let's do that.
Let's do that.
We'll take a break right now. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute, because you may want to hear that apparently a gambling bill showed up this week. And then on top of that, What is going on with Birmingham Southern getting a loan with tax dollars? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. I got a brand new texter in the line, and we need to get your name and where you're from. Well, actually, I take it back. Sergeant Major retired, and we'll just use initials here, D, DM Davis. So anyway, remembering Team 3 Alpha, LERP, Task Force 3rd Brigade, 25th ID, all KIA, Vietnam, 1967. Thank you, Sergeant Major. Appreciate your service too, by the way. And LERPS, I have an affiliation as a platoon leader. I was in LERS, which is the modern equivalent for recon. And thank you for your service, Sergeant Major. Going back to the phones right now, our friend Stephanie Smith for the Alabama Policy Institute just spent the week monitoring and interacting with the shenanigans going on down yonder on the Goat Hill in Montgomery. And hey, Stephanie, let me ask you this. Out of the blue, a gambling bill showed up. What the heck?
There were a series of articles that were written last week or about a week and a half ago now that were like, hey, no gambling bills this session. Fantastic. And then literally the next day, Bobby Singleton, a state senator, dropped a local gambling bill for Greene County. The trouble is, and you picked up on the key word because you were a state senator, which is, so he dropped a local bill, a local constitutional amendment, to alter the definition of perimutual betting for the county of Greene County. And the problem with that is that the way the legislature works is that local legislation is kind of hands-off. And so most other senators won't vote against someone else's local legislation because the idea, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is, you know, for local control of that delegation to make the decisions for their area, and that, you know, somebody from Coleman shouldn't, you know, be able to vote on what's happening in the city of Mobile or vice versa. And so he presented this as a piece of local legislation, but it does change the definition of perimutual betting to basically be slot machines. anything that they want. And so
Bobby Singleton kills me.
yeah, and he's a friend. I mean, he's a character and he's a friend, but it's one of those. So he dropped it the next day. It was in tourism committee, had a public hearing. They voted on it same day as the public hearing, which, as you know, is not particularly customary. And then so it came out of committee, and then the next morning was considered as a piece of local legislation on the Senate floor.
Well, did it pass?
It passed.
God almighty.
Yes.
I mean, that's not the kind of bill that's supposed to creep in the dark of night. That's the kind of thing that's supposed to have some time and energy attached to the vigorous debate. And that's not what happened there. Masking it as a local bill, I'm not sure that would stand up to a legal challenge. But even still, wow.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and it was one of those things that was pretty frustrating because it happened so quickly, which obviously was the strategy. It happened so quickly that most of the senators, and especially the new guys who are, you know, down there for the first time, didn't really know, you know, that there was a chance that a piece of local legislation could have statewide implications like that and would have such a bad mark on their record. And so I reached out to all the new guys and then, you know, the ones who typically vote against gambling legislation to make sure that they knew ahead of time. Because as you know, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll come in early in the morning and the first thing that they'll take up before you know, as soon as they get a quorum, the first thing they'll take up is these, quote, uncontested local bills, because they just fly through, and they use the original role of, like, hey, who's here to do it, and then they use the previous role for the next one and the next one and the next one, because they are truly uncontested local bills. The problem is this one was presented that way, but it expanded gambling and gave unlimited slot machines to the to Greene County. And it's a constitutional amendment, so if it passes, there's nothing that the governor can do, though I don't know that she would stop it anyway, and then it's a constitutional amendment on the ballot.
That's madness. Well, all right, more to come on that one. In the couple minutes we have left, though, let's talk real quick about Birmingham Southern being what is now known as a distressed private college.
That's right.
And a bill was passed basically because of Birmingham Southern, but it's designed to be generically addressed as the distressed private or public universities loan program or something. So basically public tax dollars being used to bail out with a low interest loan any college who's gotten in trouble. What are your thoughts?
Yes, and so the way it's structured is it's through the treasurer's office. So the treasurer has basically become, you know, the state banker and state lender for any distressed institution. They tried to tighten up the language, you know, the definitions to make sure it was specific and wouldn't apply to, you know, a fly-by-night kind of situation. It's an institution that, you know, has to have been around for 50 years or more, and et cetera, et cetera. But the problem for me on that is just the concept that if you are making poor financial decisions, even if you're a private, you know, school, and you're making poor financial decisions, and frankly, poor political decisions, because I think that's been part of a factor in their demise.
Yeah.
You don't need to look to your alums. You don't need to look to private foundations or organizations to bail you out. You just go to the straight treasurer because he's going to be your lender. And I have a real problem with using taxpayer dollars for that purpose.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, too, I would love to maybe get your guy, your fiscal analyst, Justin Bogey, on next week and maybe break that down even further, because I think that's a topic that we have to – I mean, I don't like the whole too big to fail thing, which is what was being played here.
And I definitely
don't like the idea that we are going to be the – and by the way, where does it stop? And it didn't just say private schools. It could be public. So they're already on the appropriations for the budget. And then they can come in and go, by the way, we're distressed now. What's the qualification list? So,
Well, and the trouble with me as well is that it's personal loyalty. You know, I mean, state senators and representatives standing up and saying, my grandfather graduated from Birmingham, you know, whatever. It's public money being used for personal loyalties.
Yes.
And I think that's wrong.
I agree.
All right. Hey, my friend, that wraps up our time. Thanks for hanging on for a full half hour. And thanks for what you're doing down in Montgomery. If they want to find out more about you, where do they go?
You can find us at alabamapolicy.org.
All right. Thank you. Stephanie Smith, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Good timing. We'll call a wrap on that one. We'll come right back. Spend a little time on what would have been number two of the Triple Dipper, and we'll go ahead and make it number two now. We just kind of did the news roundup first. Now we're going to go to military-minded. We come back. I got a few pieces to kind of take us into the Memorial Day weekend. If you want to text in, 833-68-RIGHT, or call in for that matter. Who do you want to honor? We'd be glad to hear their names. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.